Star. Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, all things Royals, Chiefs, K-State Athletics. Be sure to go to the YouTube page, like, subscribe. It'll go to the top of your screen. You can see our beautiful faces every time. You don't have to scroll down or go type it in. It'll just pop up there. It'll track you, you know. You can watch on Facebook, Twitch, X, formerly known as Twitter. Somebody, I think Jay Binkley texted the text line about his dream seat.
Oh, he did. What did he say?
With anywhere Paige skull? Sporanek is. Thanks for listening, Jay.
We appreciate it, Bink. But that is his dream seat, wherever Paige is, right?
Yeah. I still can't believe we blew that opportunity in the Super Bowl. There we are, entering the stadium for media night. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Paige Sporanek, but it seems kind of short. And then they start getting closer and closer. I'm like, Mac, is that Paige Sporanek? And then, of course, we get inside and find the guy that's decked out in, like, golf attire.
Like, yep.
Just Peter Millard out. Hey, by the way, is that Paige Sporanek? Yeah, it is. Okay.
All right, sorry.
Okay. Hey, Jay, you want to meet Paige Sporanek and Joey Chestnut in the same night?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody was like, you guys talk all the smack on Joey Chestnut yesterday. Bink would be ashamed. I'm like, we actually called Binkley when we ran into Joey. And Joey was like, I don't have time. I got to chug these beers like they're hot dogs. Do you want to take a picture with me, though?
No.
No, I don't, actually.
No.
I'm trying to do a favor for my friend.
Right.
And now you're a Richard.
He's been the biggest Richard since. I mean, I don't know that there's been one since that I've run into out in public. No. Like, worse than that guy was.
Yeah, see, these girls who are 30 years younger than me and obviously are uncomfortable with me, I'm going to keep perching over here.
Yeah, like, exactly.
All right, cool, bro.
Yeah,
you're awesome.
You had that happen, too.
They ask me what I do for a living. I say I throat glizzies.
Yeah.
I wouldn't lead with that, Joey. I wouldn't lead with that. Maybe tell him you're a well decorative athlete.
Was anybody with him that night?
No.
Oh, he was by himself,
right? He had an old guy. I think it was his trainer.
I don't know how you train for throat and glizzies.
His trainer.
Let's go for four today, Joey. Let's go for four.
Keep eating.
We're going to do the jumbo New York dogs today.
Women weak in knees, Joey.
Yeah.
Keep eating those hot dogs.
I like soaked buns because they dip them in the
It's disgusting. It's there's nothing grosser than that, man.
I think he's actually coming to Kansas City.
Well, good. He can enjoy himself here, I hope. Yeah. Is he really coming here? Does like the T-Bones hire him to come out there and, you know, do something like we used to do with Mr. Belding back in the day?
I'm pretty sure I saw an article from either KCTV 5 or Fox 4 that said it was like a picture of him and it said Kansas City eating competition. He was the picture of the article.
Okay. I wonder what they're paying him to show up. Probably $25,000 to come to something like that, I would imagine. Good money if you can get it. Right,
hot dogs for life.
June 7th.
I mean,
Kansas City for Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest.
Like, is this an offshoot like one?
It's a qualifying event.
I was going to say, is this a qualifier?
So he's just going to be a judge and take pictures with everybody and ask if they want to take their picture with him.
So where is this taking place? I need more info. Is Binkley going to register for this?
This is the event is being held on Saturday, June 7th at 6 p.m. at 11600 Johnson Drive in Shawnee, Kansas.
Right there.
Did you get him on?
Oh, my God.
Is it like old something days or something? Like old Shawnee days?
Yes. It's part of the old Shawnee Days Festival.
Okay.
There you go.
There it is. Yeah.
Because see, that's when Downtown Days is in Lee Summit.
Those are all the same. Everybody's selling the crap that they created in their garage, for, you know, out of popsicle sticks and whatnot. And I need to have this thing that says popsicle stick container. You know, like, and we all buy this stuff and we mosey around these downtowns buying kettle corn and terrible sweet drinks, and then Joey Chestnut shows up and eats hot dogs. I mean, that screams your old Shawnee days right there. High school bands, all that kind of stuff, right?
I love Downtown Days. There's a guy that makes Euros all the time on the corner, and they're fantastic. Great.
That sounds good.
We can get all that now. Like, the food trucks are everywhere now. It's not like that was, like, unique. You look it up. You can find out where these guys hide all the time.
I don't have to. I just go to the same guy that's there every year, right in the corner.
But it's only once a year. What if that guy's, like, two corners over all the time?
Twice a year.
What's the other day?
Oktoberfest. Creek guy selling Euros during Oktoberfest. I love it. I'm like, nah, I don't want any of that stuff. I'll go right to you.
We were actually just talking about one of those type of things. We had old settlers days out in Olathe right on Labor Day weekend because the cheerleaders and everybody's in. It's 160 different groups that participate in the old settlers days parade. And if you were in the front of the parade last year, you're in the back of the parade this year.
Oh.
So all the parents are already timing. Like, when do we have to get to this thing this year?
Man. May have to go see our boy Chestnut.
No.
I'm good.
Have we received a mailer yet from anybody saying, hey, would you like to have Joey Chestnut on the show?
Not yet.
Hard pass. But here's Alex Gold. He'd enjoy the conversation.
I don't even think Gold wants to.
No, I don't think he does either. Cody might.
Nope. No. I think we know where he's going. He's going late night with Bink.
I don't even know that Bink wants the guy on anymore after the way that he treated us down in New Orleans.
Did we ruin Binkley's image of Joey?
Well, Bink didn't get to meet him, so at least he hasn't met his hero yet.
That is true.
Don't meet your heroes. But he'd be Chris Farley with Joey Chestnut. Remember that time he beat Kobayashi in like 18 seconds with 15 hot dogs last minute? That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
You think you could blitz a hot dog the way Lawrence Taylor could blitz quarterback, break that thing in half like Tyson's knee?
There's juice all over the place.
Better believe it. Let me ask you, Joey, is ketchup acceptable on a hot dog? Because I see you eat them in water. You're mad. I'd pay for that interview.
I mean, would that be better than when he asked the girl who was the porn star if how long she's been hot? Or
oh whatever.
Remember?
God.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
How long you been hot?
What the?
That was the question, right? Oh, we used to. The purge of Ken Wolf years ago got rid of all the good stuff. But, I mean, like, he did. He asked this girl. She was like, and then he said to her, like, don't be going and doing anything stupid. Like, it was like the most uncomfortable interview you could ever hear.
Heck yeah.
And then you had Henry Lake with the drop of the century. It says, you ride the hot guy.
Yeah.
So you had that.
I mean, those two, who was that they interviewed? Damn it. Oh my God. The text line has got to know who Bigley were interviewing. What porn star? How long you been hot?
Margaret Thatcher. Speaking of how long have you been hot, the Detroit Tigers have been hot for about 9 months now. And I think that the AFC West and the AL Central are very similar in competitive races, because I think that we look at our standings too early in baseball, whereas in football, we just kind of expect where the Chiefs are going to be. The Royals win yesterday. They win a series against San Francisco, and then all of a sudden, Detroit wins. Detroit has the best record in baseball. We remember how Detroit finished last year. Detroit is just doing what the Chiefs did in the division last year. Surely they can't keep winning the division. Oh, yes, they can. They're going to go 15-2, even though Denver and the Chargers were both playoff teams with 10 wins, or they both won more than 10 wins. And it's not a disgrace to your season. It's just that you're not that. And for some reason, Detroit has become this best record in baseball. The hell with the Dodgers, the hell with the Giants, the hell with the Mets, the Yankees, everybody. It's Detroit.
And they took off last year. It was mid-season last year when they started to really come on, and everybody was like, where's this Detroit team coming from? Well, they got a pretty darn good manager in A.J. Hinch, who's probably one of the best in the game. And as we saw, even with the cheating scandal in Houston, the minute he was available to be hired, he was hired by Detroit. That's how people view him. And you have a Cy Young Award winner on the mound there with Tarik Skubal every fifth day. Obviously, that's going to add to it. But they're just playing great baseball right now. And the standing things in baseball is so much fun because there's like a couple of tent poles. Memorial Day, kind of look to see where you are. 4th of July, kind of check the standings again and kind of figure out where you are. Labor Day, you kind of figure out where you are. Like, I'm not a standings everyday checker in Major League Baseball. I don't think you can be. You lose your mind doing something
day,
like that.
Twice a week.
Oh, I don't even know that it's that for me. I think it's maybe once a week, if that, to kind of see where things are, because it changes so much in baseball. You've got so many games and whatnot, and looking at the standings that much to me is just you're gonna drive yourself crazy. Football, it's right there because every game is so magnified. It's 10 baseball games,
right?
So everything is magnified in the NFL. But I try to stay away from the standings as much as possible. Just kind of get a gauge of where they are. I know they're winning games. I know what they're doing. That's all that really matters. You keep winning, it all take care of itself in the end. But this Detroit thing, man, it's become a juggernaut all of a sudden.
And it's almost to the point where, do you think at some point the Chargers or the Raiders or the Broncos are like, all right, they're winning the division, there's nothing we can do about it, let's just get into the playoffs, and that's not a disgrace to our season. Again, I am not forfeiting the hand of the Tigers. You have a huge series against them coming up a week from tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
The 30th, 31st, and that'll be the Saturday that Moose gets retired as a Royal.
Yep.
Should be big crowds. But you handle business against Minnesota, you get to yourself around, right around 3.5, I guarantee you everybody's looking at the standings after the Detroit series. The Royals take two out of three.
If they take two out of three, sure, absolutely. Better people believe. Be excited about that. It'll also be June, and that's when you kind of start making your move. But this time next week, you know, roughly we get through that Memorial Day holiday, you're going to see some of these teams start to wave that white flag a little bit sooner rather than later. The problem is that you've got, you know, really bad owners in baseball that a lot of them just don't care about winning. Colorado, Anaheim, some of these places where they winning isn't important to them, and they don't want to, you know, deal players away that they're paying no money to and that kind of stuff. So it may be tough to make some moves around Major League Baseball. But this time next week, once we get through that Memorial Day holiday and the Moose retirement, it's June. And yep. Then it's time. It's all right. It's moving day. We know who the competitors are in Major League Baseball. It's not really going to change all that much. If you're not a competitor, wave that damn white flag and let people start poaching your roster and making their teams better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Ben Maller coming up on the other side. Plus, we'll get into one word. Binkley, by the way, has met Joey Chestnut. He has been in studio. He has pictures that he has sent me in text currently. So there you go.
Do we know who the girl was, though?
No, we're just getting a bunch of porn star names on the text line. I don't know if they're actually like the people he interviewed. So we'll get back and we'll have our interview with Ben Maller here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Talk to our guy Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio as we do every Thursday at this time. And of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. It's all brought to you by The Landing and Liberty. And Ben, I mean, I what we watched last night, great theater is the only way I can describe what we watched last night with the Knicks and Pacers. What an incredible comeback or an incredible choke job, depending on what side you're on.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was awesome to see. I had it on, and usually you have these games on. It's great to be on with you guys again, but you have these games on, you're like, well, team's up by 14. And every broadcaster, they always say, well, it could be a comeback, and 99.999% of the time, it's total nonsense. There's never a comeback, and that was the 0.1% that happened, and the math on that, they went back, they said, since 1998, that is the first time ever a team has blown that big a lead in the final minute, the New York Knicks last night. And then to see, I know you might have some Knick blood there, Bob, but to see all the fans at the Garden doing the surrender cobra, where they've got their hands behind their head in shock, was stunning. And then the Knicks really lost the game twice, because not only did they lose, they thought they lost it on the Halliburton three-point shot, which bounced, like hit the roof at the Garden and then went through. And then in overtime, they lost again. They managed to lose the game twice. That should be two losses. They should be down 0-2 in the series. And I have no skin in the game. I have family from New York. I don't really know anybody in Indiana. I just like the way the Pacers play. I just like, they don't play any defense. I like the way they approach the game. They don't give up. And I've watched so many playoff games where teams get behind, they just quit. They don't admit it, but they just give up. And the Pacers, to the credit of Rick Carlisle and Halliburton and those guys, they fight you to the very end. And it was beautiful to watch.
You know, and they're lucky they ended up winning that game, because that, you know, premature choke signal that we saw at the end of regulation could have gone down in lore as like, oh boy, the Pacers lost it on this. And now I look at it, I go, boy, I don't know, man. The Knicks are going to have a tough time overcoming that loss.
Yeah. Well, and I got to say, Bob, I don't know how you feel and Dusty, but Halliburton's like, I didn't plan that out. I'll bet you $1,000. He had in the back of his head going into that game, and certainly going into that play, if I make this shot, I am going to do the Reggie Miller thing. With Reggie sitting courtside doing TV for TNT, he claimed he didn't plan that out. I think that's not. It's like when the play-by-play guy has the game-winning call already on a card waiting for the team to win, and it just reads the card. It's the same deal. And then how about Halliburton at the end? He went back to try to win the game. Like, he could have taken a two-point shot and tied it regular. He went all the way back to try to win the game, and he still messed it up, even though he made the shot, because he didn't have his foot behind the line. So the whole thing was just tremendous. It was something we'll talk about for some time, and it's good, because most of the games that I've watched are not very memorable. That was one. That was one of the great games. It reminds me, not the same ending, but remember the LeBron when he was in Cleveland and he had that wild playoff game against the Pistons where he just went nuts in the fourth quarter overtime, where I still remember it in my head all these years later. I'll remember that game going forward. It was beautiful.
Yeah, Ben, to give you the stat of what that number was that you referenced in this game of, you know, 999.999%, NBA teams were 0-970 in the playoffs over the last 27 years when trailing by 14 or more points with under 250 left in regulation. Last night made it 1-970. Like you guys said, perfect theater, but I think last night's game was great, but terrible for tonight's game because nobody's going to get that versus Oklahoma City and Memphis. And I'll take six more of what I saw last night and zero more of what I've seen the night before and what I'll probably see tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I mean, it's boredom incarnate. Well, that game was just painful. It was humdrum. It's like, you need some juice. There's got to be something there. And it was just, you didn't have high expectations for Oklahoma City and Minnesota, but game one was dependably boring. It lived up to expectations and all that. And I don't know. I mean, I'll watch tonight. Obviously, I got the show to do afterwards, so I'll be watching. But it's just seems lifeless. Like Minnesota does not. They turn the ball over too much, and Oklahoma's just not. There's stars. There's the MVP, but it's just something missing. It's just unremarkable. And hopefully, it'll be better tonight. It can't be much worse than it was in Game One of that particular series. But yeah, but I'm counting down to Friday night to watch game two of the Pacers and the Knicks and to see if the Knicks can come back and win. If they somehow screw this up on Friday night, the Knicks, oh my goodness, the natives will be restless for sure.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, and from the NBA to the NFL and the biggest discussion we've seen in years, owners fighting with each other, former players coming in, lewd jokes over this tush-push thing. I mean, we got all the goodness coming out of this tush-push thing. I'm glad the owners voted not to ban the tush-push.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I agree. I'm still bothered. Baseball kind of banned the shift. I think that's annoying. That's a weak way to go about it in baseball. And it would have been the same thing in the NFL. And as much as I would not want to be in a room with a guy doing an hour filibuster like the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie apparently did, where other owners were like basically telling him to stop and all that, all those blowhards in a room. That being said, I agree with this point that would have been it was a win-win for the Eagles, because if they had gotten rid of that play, it would have been akin to back when the NBA got rid, or college basketball got rid of the slam dunk back in the day, because they said it was they used the same language, similar language to what the NFL tried to use to get rid of the tush push. And rather than try to get rid of it, just have your team run it. Like, if you have a problem, just have your team run it. If everyone's doing it, it's a level playing field. So I thought the whole thing was wonderful to hear about the different stories that got out, and that the Eagles owner was upset because of some social media stories claiming that the play was going to be banned, and that's why he was like a volcano exploding with lava everywhere and the whole thing. So it was great, and they didn't do it, and they didn't change the playoff seating. So a win-win for the league meetings there in Minnesota.
The other big story was the fact that Jason Kelce was called from the bullpen in the seventh inning to come in and kind of put the fire out, as you would say, for the tush push. Are we going to see more of that? Like, find a celebrity or slash like big name of your franchise, whether they're in the now or in the past, because it reminded me of whenever Liv and PGA were kind of going at it, and the PGA was like calling the special force, and here comes Tiger Woods landing from a helicopter to come in and kind of settle the smoke. Jason Kelce is the closer yesterday that apparently, I don't know what you think, but maybe might have gotten the closing sentiment in that meeting.
So is he on retainer? He's still getting a check from the Eagles, right? He's like an advisor or something, even though he's on TV.
Lifetime.
You know, he's got the ambassador role because he dressed up as a murmur thing or whatever, the parade there in Philadelphia. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. You've met some of these guys over the years, Dusty and Bob. I mean, these guys, these aristocrats that own these teams, they are into the whole, like, celebrity element and all that stuff. Jerry Jones is legendary. Jerry, though, voted against the tush push and all that. But yeah, you know, it's like, hey, why not? If you can, I'm surprised they didn't get Taylor Swift to come in there and try to, you know, do something, right? Why not? You know, connected, kind of connected, bring her in, add that to the to the mix. Maybe that'll be one of her new songs, the Tush Push, can add to her next album or whatever. But yeah, listen, I'm glad they kept it, and it's not over yet, though, because I'll bet you guys dollars to donuts next year or 2 years from now, they'll revisit this because Roger Goodell doesn't like it, and that came out in the meeting, and he deputized the Packers to do the dirty work for the NFL. They only need to get – there's nine teams other than the Eagles that voted to keep it, and if everyone else keeps their vote and then they can get two of those nine teams, then the Tush Push will be gone. So if the Eagles are still great, again, there's no reason to think they're not going to be good for the next couple of years, then this is something that's going to come back up, and we'll revisit this in the future.
Ben Maller, is the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark rivalry the best one in sports? Because I think it is right now.
Well, it's good because it's not anything to do with basketball, right, Bob? It's not like I haven't spent too much time on the overnight talking about it, but it has nothing to do with basketball. There are people who are in danger of losing their jobs because of a WNBA rivalry, which is insane to me. Like I still can't wrap my mind around some of these guys who are so passionate about this that they're crossing the Rubicon and getting themselves in trouble. But it's great because it plays on a lot of there's people that don't really care about the WNBA, but they have an opinion on Caitlin Clark, like most people, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And you've got like the good versus evil, but who's the good, who's the evil? It depends on which side of the aisle you're on. So yeah, it's got all the ingredients, and it seems like they genuinely don't like each other, which is kind of cool because so many of these sports rivalries, they pretend like they don't like each other. But I think if you got these women behind closed doors, they would say, no, they actually hate each other, which is wonderful.
Ben, is there a theory that voter fatigue has officially hit the world of sports nonstop? Because I thought of this last night. Yep. I thought Lamar Jackson was the MVP in the NFL. It went to Josh Allen. I thought Nikola Jokic was the MVP in the NBA. It went to SGA, by the way. Everybody hates the fact that he won the MVP. Not everybody really hated the fact that Josh Allen won it, but bigger snub, Joker or Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, so I actually didn't have a problem with SGA winning the MVP. I'm in the minority. Unpopular opinion, Dusty. I voter fatigue is obviously part of it, but the Thunder won 68 games. He was the star player on the team. He led the NBA in scoring, and generally speaking, if you do that, you're going to win the MVP. And the Nuggets were not as good this season. And you can sit there and it's Jerry Jones say you can dissect the mosquito or you know what to a mosquito. But it's a case where I don't have a problem with SGA winning. I don't like the style of play, but that's allowed. Like the people were making a big deal about the fact all season he was baiting, getting foul calls, and that's how he played his game, and that's how he got all these points. And that, but he was like 27th in foul shot attempts for an MVP. So that's in the margin of error. He wasn't in the top 20 or the top 10 or the top 5 or anything like that. To answer your question, voter fatigue is legit. To answer your question even further, I would say Lamar Jackson more than Josh Allen, but I didn't have an issue with SGA winning the MVP.
Ben, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the the second game of the Knicks and Pacers tomorrow night, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Ben Maller with us here on 96.5 The Fan, all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. You got to go get those Ben Maller chicken tenders at The Landing in Liberty and enjoy the Bob's Big Pretzel as well.
Mm. All right, Mac, let's hit it. 7:30.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
All right, here you go, Dawson. Shout out to the 7-year-old whose favorite segment is One Word. So,
heck
Mac,
yes.
Make Dawson's day.
All right, Dawson, here we go. We're starting with the Royals, bud. One word on the Royals' offensive explosion yesterday. 8 runs for the Alts.
Well, you took my word. Explosive.
Oh.
Dang it.
The explosive Royals offense yesterday with 8 runs.
Breathtaking.
That's a good one.
They had 3 runs by the third inning. They had 3 runs in 3 games. It was breathtaking. Oof.
It was awesome.
And to think that that was the day that you needed that sort of production because you didn't have a starter. One more bullpen game to go, and then hopefully we're done. That was what Vern was saying yesterday about the sophomore album. Maybe they're a little punk. Maybe they're a little grunge. Kyle Isbell, who saw that coming? Michael Garcia, the backup singer that now is the front man. Bobby Wood Jr. still leading on the guitar. So breathtaking with that offensive explosion.
And then you got the vet bassist who just does what he does, and he came back yesterday with a home run opposite yard. It had been over a month for him. Manager Cotrera on the show yesterday called it, said he was going to get hot. We should have bet it. One word on Salvi finding some offense.
Nice. Calming. Just for maybe for a day. Maybe he breaks out. Who the hell knows? But for a day, everything was right in the world.
Reassuring to know that it's still there at an effective rate. You call out the captain. The captain says, hey, idiots who talk for a living, who can't hit a baseball if their life depended on it, watch this. So good for Salvador Perez. More of that. I don't need it every game, obviously. I don't need it three games out of five. Mm-hmm. I just need it when you need it, if that makes any sort of sense.
And Salvi, though, too. I mean, like, nobody's hitting in baseball this year, right? So, I mean, it's just kind of normal for what's going on.
No doubt.
But it was good to see him have that kind of success yesterday. But I think it's more of more about baseball today than it is about anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many dudes are hitting over 300 right now in the game? I don't know, 10?
Yeah, I think we did it the other day. I think it was less than 20. Yeah, I really think it was.
Yeah, it definitely was, yeah.
Joe Aaron Judge is hitting 400.
I heard that.
Yeah. Game tying RBI yesterday, too. Clutch, regular season.
Big day in the NFL. We'll get to all of the rule changes or not rule changes, but the story that took over in the NFL was Colts owner Jim Irsay's passing at 65 years old. One word on Jim Irsay.
Young. I didn't realize he was only 65 years old. That was one of the first deaths that I can remember where my friend group, which is mid-40s to mid-50s-ish, all kind of texting each other yesterday going, damn, he was young, right?
Yeah.
That kind of hits us as, you know, late 40s now. 65 is not old at all. Very young. Also very sad. Very, very
sad.
Troubled life, you know, Jim Irsay lived with the addiction and all that kind of stuff. So sad, you know, troubled, but young is the first thing that I think of.
Shocking, right? 65 came out of nowhere. Bob sent the text. I was like, no. And then and then immediately, like we all do, straight to the internet. Like, then it was just everywhere. By the way, 21 players hitting 300 or higher.
There we go.
Michael Garcia, eighth on that list.
That's insane.
There you go.
We have two on that list. We have Bobby and we have Michael Garcia.
Damn.
Two of the 21 players in baseball. Mm-hmm. 26 times 30 will give you how many major leaguers there are, right? Whatever number that is, 1,500 roughly. There's 21 of them that are hitting 300 or better. We have two on our team. We're doing okay.
Michael Garcia has the most games played, two at 50. Aaron Judge leads the way at 402. The next best is Freddie Freeman at 368. Bobby Wood Jr., 17th on that list. And Michael Garcia, 8th.
That's crazy. Nuts. So, while we're upset with Salvi, perspective is, ain't no one hitting themselves out of wet paper bag in Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah, and the Royals have one of the best records in baseball with a struggling offense.
Yeah, struggling or normal? Because maybe we're going to have to view the way that or change the way that we view of what offense is supposed to be in baseball, because it's pretty much ass.
Caglione's hitting over 400 in AAA, by the way.
2 for 5?
Nope. Yeah, sample size. One word, tush push. We all thought it was going.
Well, I mean, all the insiders thought it was going.
Yeah,
and
everyone.
Diana Russini deleted her tweet where she said it. That's very weak. That's sad.
Like that.
I'm out on that, man. That's a very weak move. Everybody had it wrong. They had a debate about it, which is really good. Knowing going in, it looked like they were going to get rid of it. Then they talked about it, and people changed their mind. Holy what an amazing way of doing things, right?
God bless Diana Russini.
Don't delete that tweet. Who cares if you got it wrong?
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah. Tush push not being banked. Good.
Good. I mean, love it.
Yeah, good. Come on now. Like, what are we doing here, right? Comped it yesterday to the Michael Vick 04 Madden player. Don't like it. Beat it.
Exactly. Spags will beat that tush push. I guarantee you. That will be the last thing he does as defensive coordinator in this league. He will beat the tush push.
He did it against the Bills last season. Now he got to do it against big dogs and the Eagles. 10 teams, 22-10 was the vote. Two votes short on passing that.
You
ban.
Watch week two, right? Is it week two when the Eagles roll in here? Week three, whatever
it
is.
Or week two or week three?
Week two.
Week two.
That tush push ain't going anywhere. And everybody, Spags will shut that son of a gun down in week two. You watch.
We just got some meat up front to help out, so hopefully that helps. 10 teams voted to keep the tush push in the game. Browns, Dolphins, Eagles, Jaguars, Lions, Jets, Patriots, Ravens, Saints, Titans. One word on the Chiefs not being one of those 10 teams to vote.
Well, predictable. I mean, you had to vote against it if you're the Chiefs, right? You got Buffalo and you got Philadelphia. Yeah, of course you're going to vote against it.
Yeah, I don't know. PTSD? Because then the Eagles said the last successful tush push and they showed the Super Bowl. Woof.
Yeah, that sucked.
Chris Jones lined up sideways and all that. Yeah. Like that's not the answer, Spags, by the way.
Yeah, nope. If you want it banned, let the Chiefs figure out how to do it. Then they'll ban it.
One word on the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, using a wet dream analogy to describe the league wanting to ban the tush push.
Interesting. I don't know that I would have gone that route, especially with mixed company in the room.
Yep.
Crass. An old boys club that ownership group really is.
100%.
Even with ladies in the room, it's ignorant. Yeah, you got to be better than that, Jeffrey. You really do. It's 2025. That stuff doesn't fly anymore. No. Mm.
Interesting. That's where he went with the comparison. I mean, just went to his eighth grade self.
Yep.
Waking up like he ran a damn marathon, wondering why he's got a. Anyways, yeah, I don't. That's wild.
It is wild. And then the last one here. One word. Brock Bowers. We're getting little training camp, early OTA videos coming out, press conferences. Brock Bowers. These are his comments on his new star running back Ashton Jeanty.
What are your first impressions of Ashton Jeanty?
He's a beast. He's a beast. He's out there. You know, he's quick. He's fast. He's rocked up. He's thick. So he's pretty good.
One time I'd like a player to say, I mean, I don't know. The dude hasn't played in the NFL yet. We'll see when he plays in a real game. Like, just come out and say something like that. Like, he may look good, but hell if I know if he's going to have any success in this league. It's a hard league, man. I'd like to see Brock Bowers say something like that, but I don't like anything that's good with the Raiders.
I will say he's right, and then I will say four words: rocked up and thick. Is that what he described him as? Rocked up and thick, rocked up and meaty, something like that. I mean, Jeanty's a stud, man. Like he's gonna be that guy.
He's rocked up. He's thick.
Man, yeah. Rocked up and thick.
I mean, is he the next dude awesome. From Tennessee, King Henry?
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
And but again, I mean, we couldn't stop him 69 yards later and Frank Clark telling me to go screw myself or whatever the hell he did that day. And then James Palmer trying to steal the interview as he did.
Not trying, did.
Jeanty paid their kicker, by the way, yesterday, Daniel Carlson, over six figures is the number that's come out.
Six figures? That's only hundreds of thousands.
Over hundreds of thousands of dollars for the jersey number.
For the jersey number.
Yeah, he got number two.
I thought you said they paid their kicker yesterday.
He did. He paid the kicker to get his jersey.
I misheard that. My bad. No, I thought you said they paid their kicker yesterday. I'm like, they only gave him $100,000? What the hell is that?
Good for Carlson, man.
Hell yes. It's good for Carlson.
Why not? You can have it.
Wait, how much do you want? I don't know. $700,000. Fine.
Yes.
That's right. So, I mean, look, you're a punter, kicker, one of the best kickers in the game, and all of a sudden you have the opportunity to absolutely get paid on the side. It's like when you were a server in the restaurant, nobody wanted to roll silverware, but then all of a sudden you're like, hey, you want to leave early? Pay me $20. I'll roll your silverware for you.
$20?
Oh, man, I made like $80 quick in the restaurant industry.
How many rolls do you have to do for
like 40? And they didn't want to. Oh, I know. Trust me, man. And when it was 60, I was that guy. Hey, Scott, I know you want to get out of here. I'll roll your silverware for like $20. Really? Here you go, dude. Dusty,
easy.
Why did
dude,
you roll?
That's easy cash.
Shout out Red Robin. Remember this sounder?
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning. Like a dairy cow.
Oh, yes! Yes!
That's right. You hear that sound on the other side. You want to be caller number 8. That's how many runs the Royals put up yesterday. You want to be caller number 8 and smasher passes on the other side with Booth Creek Wagyu sponsoring. It's KC's best steaks now with two locations at 95th and Knoll and 135th and Metcalf. We will get to smasher pass on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
He's rocked up. He's thick.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty McMorey with you as well. Dusty Liggins, Bob Fesco here on a Thursday. Beautiful Thursday. Eat Outside Index. That's what they do on the news. 10 out of 10.
Ooh, 10. Nice.
A 10. A freaking 10. You'll understand that when you watch Varsity Blues this weekend.
A 10 for eating outside today, huh?
Yeah, I am envious of those people that have those nice outside patio sets you can eat on.
Yeah.
Because I love the comfy couch. Like, your guys' is nice, but you can't eat on that. You're no. too,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we used to have a table, but we never used it. Exactly. So she sold it and got rid of it, and, you know, we moved on.
According to the text line, Carlson donated the money he got from Ashton Genty to charity.
Good for him.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's a nice gesture and all, but, like, as Dusty said in the break, like, you're, like, four kicks away from being unemployed, man.
Yeah, you missed four kicks in the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah, a little bit of charity. Break off 10% of that thing, but you got to keep some dough for yourself, man.
No doubt about it. So it is Smash or Pass, brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's best steaks now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf. Saw something the other day that might trigger a fancy of one Mr. Fesco, and that was the new Reese's Big Cups. They've had the ones with, like, the chocolate lava on the bottom. I think that's too much. But now they have peanut butter and jelly ones with grape jelly, strawberry jelly, smash pass.
I would smash the strawberry, maybe pass on the grape one. That's my initial kind of response to that.
Like, if you make a classic PB&J, you're going strawberry jam?
I like red, yeah. Okay. Like red jellies and that kind of stuff. Grape I'm fine with, but like, if I got strawberry preserves or something like that, hell yeah, I'm going in on that. I think it's a little bit sweeter than the grape, but...
Yeah, strawberry preserves.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested in trying I'd try them both. I think I would like the strawberry one more.
I think so. Is traditional strawberry jam on a peanut butter traditional grape?
I think it's the grape. Okay. Yeah, I think traditionally you go with the grape.
Somebody
jelly.
Just got smart later on in history. It was like, you think the grape's good?
Yeah, try strawberry.
Check this out, man. I don't have any grape, but I got some preserves in the garage.
And then we got mixed berry.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, A16 says they're actually nasty, guys. So gross.
Oh, dang it. Oh. It doesn't mean I can't try this. Yeah,
so the text line is passing.
Text line's passing.
That is one of those things you just don't have to F up. You just leave a Reese's a Reese's.
Like that, it's the greatest candy out there. And they've had so many incarnations of it. And I've tried a couple of them here or there. But I still, you know, it's like what Norm said yesterday. You never forget your one true love, Sam. You know, and the one true love is that, beer Norm, sure, what the hell. But the one true love is the original Reese's, right? Mm. It is just a perfect candy. The other stuff is okay, but I'm not running to the store to get the pretzel-infused Reese's peanut butter cup.
It's like, have you ever had one of those different style of Oreos that are better than just the classic double stuff Oreo? Like, I know they tried the mint cream, they tried like the
creams and
cappuccino, the whatever double stuffed. That's the way to go. I don't need anything else.
I like opening those up and getting your teeth marks in that cream, man, and enjoying just a regular Oreo.
Ew. 913. I was excited when I saw these. Bought the kids them to try. They're mostly like a syrup gel over a jelly. It's like that caramel that, like...
I don't want anything.
I think I'm out.
I'm out on that.
Out.
Yeah.
I don't want that jelly just resting on the chin, you know?
No, that's the thing. Like, it's, you're going to get all sticky and like, ew, what is going on here?
Bob sent us a picture. Did you see it?
Yes.
Lasagna crusted with hot dogs. What it means is lasagna's in the middle and then outlined with hot dogs. It's a no for me, dog.
It's a big pass.
Big pass.
Big
pass. Absolutely, it's a big pass.
That's just two family members that don't need to be in the same living room.
Yeah.
That's conservative dad and liberal uncle. Just stay in the kitchen and stay in the living room, guys.
That's right.
We don't need you to be together because it's not going to be good, you know?
And they know going in they're going to fight. Yeah.
I tell you what, if Greg says one thing to me about the economy, it's on. David, just stay in the kitchen and don't worry about it.
There'll be enough people here. You don't have to interact with him.
My pen's in the garage if you need to go in there.
This is a meal where you change the drawers no matter what.
You don't wear drawers when you have those. So this is, I don't know if this is a debate anymore, but there is something in my life that I can honestly admit that I have changed over to. And I asked this question. Traditional hamburger on the grill, you know, the plumpy, the nice 80-20 smash. Chuck on the grill, or the smash burger.
Smash.
I'm team smash burger now. I used to love nothing more than a Sunday night, 85 degrees outside. Dad's putting burgers on the grill. He'd always make cheeseburgers in paradise. Stepdad would make the traditional, the Costco lumpers, little salt, pepper, cheese, mustard, pickle, onion, whatever. I'm team smash burger now.
I still like the regular burger. It's not that I'm anti-smash burger at right. all, because who would be? Yeah. But I still like that, just that big burger, and you know, just a great juicy burger, man. Mm. There's something good about that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bob on this one. But again, it's not like I love a good smash burger, but I haven't maybe had it on the flat top. I can't cook like you, Dusty. So maybe if I had one, maybe I would switch over. But yeah, stick with the plumpy burgers.
We'll have a party one day at the house. I'll host, and I'll just cook them out because they're so easy.
But see, that's the problem. I eat like 17 of them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that. I mean, that's a pretty big surface. I think I've made it 1 point. Like 5 pounds of combination fried rice at once, made 8 or 10 smash burgers all at once. Yeah, it was
fried rice,
like
gas.
And then it is a holiday weekend coming up that we call Memorial Day. What are your guys' staples for Memorial Day?
I think it's just traditional, you know, the smokehouse beans. Oh, gosh, they're so good. Get some Cajun butter chicken wings as well from Smokehouse Barbecue.
So good.
But your hot dogs, your burgers, you know, it's not one of these things where you have to overthink. Just go and be normal, right?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Don't think outside the box too much. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, I'll do a couple racks of ribs on the smoker. Pretty easy. I don't do anything. It's like literally like cooking for the ill cooked. I guess I don't know what it is. You just literally put the ribs on the smoker, shut it. After 3 hours, put them in a thing and foil, wrap them up, put them back on there for 2 hours, take them off, spray them with some apple juice, sauce them, take them off. Be like, where'd you get these at? Over there.
Yeah, right there on the Traeger. Right?
Yeah, I don't do anything. I literally set it and forget it. But I'm with you. I think you need to have some sort of like those. It's almost like a predecessor to the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
right? It's kind of like your Friendsgiving to Thanksgiving. You're going to get your beans. Somebody's going to have a cheesy corn. Somebody's going to have a pie or a dessert or something like that. And it's good. And you can't also go wrong if you're just like, we're doing hot dogs, brats, burgers. Mm-hmm. We're doing that too.
Yeah. Yep.
But you're going to have beans. You're going to have a corn, a pasta salad, a macaroni salad. I'll pass on that. But you'll have all those cold sides. It's now team cold side season.
Yeah, it is. Yep. But you better put that stuff on ice too. Don't want to get food poisoning.
Like potato salad that you might think mashed potatoes.
Yeah, well, if you're thinking, Alex, it's unbelievable still. Why are the mashed potatoes on ice? Well, that's because it's potato salad, Mr. Gold.
Oh. I was like, what?
He took one bite. I mean, he did say that.
Mac, what is this?
Yeah.
What it says?
Potato I can see him getting so irrationally mad, too.
Why would they put the potatoes on ice? Because it's potato salad.
I don't understand why they even have potato salad. Who's eating this stuff?
Is there a dessert that you always eat on Memorial Day? Just like a traditional pie, like a French silk or a strawberry or an apple? Or
my mom always makes like this... I don't even know what it's called. Like a flag cake thing. It's just like
a strawberry. No,
strawberries and blueberries. Yeah.
You see those on the back of the TV.
With the Cool Whip. Yeah.
You always see those on the back of the TV guide.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Here's the recipe. Cool Whip berries. That's all you got to do. Yeah. Oh, look what I made. Oh, you put a lot of work into that, didn't you? Oh, yeah. It's a hard day at the kitchen.
It does look good. Girlfriend got me a Blackstone for my birthday. I've had smash burgers the past 2 days.
Yeah.
Smash burger takes all the flavor out? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what this guy says, yeah.
But there's more surface area where you can put more flavor on, too, with the smash burger.
Yeah, you go get those Clausen pickles you put over the top, put a little, you get those onions.
Sliced pickles, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Gosh.
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning, like a dairy cow.
Ah! Ah! Oh, yes! Yes!
So, yeah, be caller number 8 and talk to Mac, and you get to have a chance at winning your choice of the Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's Best Steaks, with now 2 locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf. Coming up on the other side, league might have nudged the Packers to be the lead in this tush push band. We'll explain why they had a hero come in from the Philadelphia Eagles to save the day. Fesco, Dusty, Mac here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.